Hello and welcome to this next session of Fearful Symmetries. We have just wrapped up events at Mather's house. We had a little conversation before I started recording about sort of what the meta was for the direction we're heading in. And there were several people who expressed the desire to deal with Portmore. That has been a thing that has been outstanding here. So I suspect that's the direction that we are headed in. My name is Lowell, pronouns he, him, and this session is part of Open Hearth Gaming, which is an online gaming club slash community. You can find about more about that at openhearthgaming.com. We do lots of games. We have people that come and play and sign up for those. If you've played with us a few times, you can start to set up events and run them on there. Some of these sessions like mine and a few other people's are recorded. And they are now available in podcast form. So as of today, we have a big chunk of our backlog of various actual play sessions now available as podcasts. I will put a link to our Transistor channel there in that. There's a lot of stuff on there. We went through and ran a program to get those all uploaded. And there is a, as they say, a metric shit ton of material there. We're going to see about how we get those organized and tagged over the next several weeks or months to make it easier to navigate. But that is the work of Rob Abrazzato in getting that set up. And that's something that we have a Patreon, and that's part of what the Patreon supports us being able to set up that kind of channel. So I want to frame up just a little bit from sort of post Mather's house, the incident there. There was the removal of the stone, the blockage that was redirecting the ley line from Dunwich. And as we said last time, someone would have been the person to bind that stone and kind of be the keeper of that stone. And I believe Dr. Whitewood has one stone that he's the keeper of, the original one. Richard, I believe the second one was yours, right?
What was that?
That was the one at the household with the troll and such.
Yes, I think that might have been me. Yeah.
Okay. So the question becomes, who wishes to be king in Dunwich or queen?
That would be Wilford.
Okay. Are you okay with that, Wilford?
Yeah, I was going to say ladies first.
Okay.
Being a true tramp gent that I am. But yeah, that's perfectly fine.
You were the one that scouted it out.
So everyone's magic is at three now. So just make sure that you have that adjusted. You may reset all your values if you haven't already. You may reset your stability. I think we will have moved along enough time for that to have caught up. We'll talk about sanity, Whitewood, after a bit here. And though this is in the keeper, there's a document for this. I'm going to read out the sort of aftermath pieces for Mather's house. And then if there's anything else that you want to like flash back to, we can do that. Dire murders at Mather's house. Scotland Yard is investigating a bloody series of killings at a weekend gathering at Mather's house in Norfolk. Dr. Conrad Yeager, owner of the house, had invited a set of guests for what is rumored to have been an exchange of smuggled curiosities and antiques. Yeager apparently had a falling out with two of his smuggling accomplices, Tobias Kenway and Harold Godthold, drowning him in the lake with the assistance of his household staff before the other guests arrived. Police are speaking with another known associate of Kenway and Godthold present at the event. It is believed that the weekend did not go according to plan, leading Yeager to abet the killing of another guest, Boynton Busby Game Green. Rumors have it that Game Green was not the intended target, but instead a well-known socialite with questionable habits was to be the intended victim. Apparently, a falling out among thieves and smugglers occurred, with Yeager dispatching known gangster Brody Jr., Chaplin, his associate, and then in turn being killed by his staff. By the time Scotland Yard arrived on scene, Yeager's accomplices among the staff had already fled. Police are currently searching throughout the Midlands for them. Yeager's safe was opened, and a large number of what are believed to be illegally smuggled or stolen artifacts were taken. Authorities are currently seeking out other guests at the weekend gathering to corroborate stories. Dr. Yeager is survived by his cousin, Lady Gwen Yeager. Here are the things which you have taken from the house: the map of London by Franciscus von Helmont, the silver key, Naturalique Magique by Funk, Jaeger's notebooks on the Aethers. I'm assuming R Richard, you would have grabbed those up. And a lesser medallion of Yatha Nili. That's how I'm saying it.
Okay.
Essentially, there is a magical medallion that was there as well. The film is missing. The playbill is missing. You also have recovered the two items which you took with you. There is. I believe, if I recall correctly, Richard, you did take advantage of the moment to search Pierce's body. I believe one you or Wilford did. And you found would have found a note, which I am now providing to you. It says, "The settlement has been made, and Cumnor Hill is now in our grasp. Dr. Sloane managed that with minimal sacrifice. I persuaded Wainwright to deal with his sister, and he now commands Box Hill. With Abra, the Tarry Stone, and Selsey Bild held, all that remains is Winchester. I have summoned the others, and we will soon break through there. Return when possible."
You must defend Winchester.
Is that note signed?
It is not signed, but I think you can guess that it is Portmore's. Thing. And I actually assume it would be a telegram that would be in there. All of that is in the Mathers House aftermath document that is in the folder there.
Oh, good.
So before we kind of move forward, is there anything else that needs to be done regarding Mathers House? Okay.
We should have burned it.
No. Leave it for Lady Gwen to make something of.
Then,
I
yes.
will just say that the volume, the Yellow King volume, I do make sure that that gets handed over to Armitage House.
Okay.
I leave the other bits about for Richard, but not the Yellow King.
So you all will return back to Oxford, head back there to kind of recover and rest. And I think head back to the house that you are keeping there, Wyberg's house. And when you arrive, there is a car out front. And as you come up, you will see the driver's side door open and Chief Inspector Jepson is there, and he points and he says, "Oi, you in now."
I get in the car.
And he sits you in the back and he turns around and he says, "This is the last of it. This is the last of it, my matey. After this, we're done. There's a limit to what I can sweep under the carpet, doctor.
I am
I'm
contrite.
keeping your name out of the mouths of folks."
Thank you very much, Inspector.
The next time I call, out.
Thank you, Inspector. And rather shamefacedly catch up with the others. And I whisper to them, when we kill Portmore, we must be more circumspect.
When you arrive back at the house, of course, your maid is I don't want to say please, but glad to have people back in the house, and immediately, perhaps resignedly, makes some coffee, but also puts on a pot of tea for all of you, and we'll set things out.
I do tell her that she's an angel because she has been the conference.
Yes. Vile stuff. But she will say, Mr. Wilford, there was a letter that arrived for you.
A letter for me?
Yes, addressed to you by name. I would have never thought it.
Neither would I. I used it as firelight if I was you. Okay, well, better have a read of it then. Doctor,
And
read this for me.
And essentially, it is a letter addressed to you, and it will say, Mr. Wilford, I had the pleasure of making your acquaintance last year. I hope that when you have time, you will call upon me so that I might have a chance to speak with you on matters diverse and various. And it is signed, Edgar Winthrop.
Mr. Winthrop. Curious. Curious indeed. Well, it'd be a shame not to return the favor. Anybody wish to accompany me to Winthrop's?
And I think she says, what, wasn't that Crispina's mentor, teacher?
I believe it was. He is.
And Sebastian's uncle.
Yes.
I would have thought you'd be rather acquainted with Mr. Winthrop by now, Miss Grimaldi.
And she says, Sebastian keeps his distance. There's a certain amount of obsession with restoring Albion that he does not feel is, well, think the words he used was that it was self-serving. So the man has an agenda. And I suppose anyone who's working alone so very hard does. So, but curious that he chose to reach out to Wilford.
Oi, very curious indeed. But you don't get a
And
letter like this very often. So it'd be a shame not to take it up.
he was Crispina's mentor, and I dare say that Wilford is her most loyal friend. Clasp him on the shoulder. Say, I'd be happy to accompany Wilford, but unless anybody else would wish to take the place, my place.
Let me guess, you'd prefer digging at those papers.
Oh, I can do both. Who
Locked in a
needs
room upstairs with candles in your underpants.
Now, Holy Sacrament robes, Wilford. But I would be interested in what Mr. Winthrop might be able to offer as an insight into this material.
Excellent. Anybody else? Or have you two
And
got
she sort of
plans?
stops and says, oh, I'll talk to Sebastian. See if he would be willing to go up to visit as well.
I think I might spend a long weekend with Dr. Rayner at Astley House.
That seems sensible.
Not too much laudanum now, Doctor.
Yes, I'm just thinking what I just said about Portmore. Yes, I feel a little unbalanced at the moment.
Oh, well, don't push yourselves too far, good man. I think you're onto something there.
Oh, right. Yes. Jolly good.
So let's start with Richard, and then we'll have Isabella, who's going to change her name in the display,
Oh, I'm so sorry.
talk to Sebastian, and then we'll do the tea and then tea and laudanum, then for Whitewood. So Richard, do you go back to your apartments then?
I think if there's a, I don't live far away from Crispina. Yeah, I'll probably go back to my apartments and
Okay.
stuff. And I think my apartments is looking in a real state beyond certain rooms that are kept completely pristine and with, various chalk markings around and various other things.
When you come to your apartment, you will realize that the door is unlocked. There's that moment where you took kind of put the key in and start turning, and you realize it's already unlocked.
I hold my cane, and I, with the cane, I push the door open.
And you walk in, you keep the front room just this pristine to keep up appearances. But I think you will walk through and you will see seated in your study amongst the various papers a Pascal Dumont.
Why, Miss Dumont, you really should have sent ahead.
It was necessary that I remove myself from Mathers Hall, as you can imagine.
Unfortunate questions for a woman who may not exist.
Exist here.
Yes. Have you thought about my offer?
I have. I can help you as much as I am able. That is why I have come here. But there is something I require. Now, I don't require it, I would like it. And should you say no, then I understand. But I know that Miss or Harley Phillips brought a silver key with her, with them to the gathering. And I was hoping that you and your friends had it and that you'd be willing to give it to me.
The silver key. Yes. What would you do with the key? Would it open the way home for you?
It would allow me the confidence and the surety that when I decided to return home, I could. As of now, I don't know if I could ever go back. I don't plan on leaving, but I would like to know that I can. Assess honesty?
Yes,
Okay.
I think that sounds about right. I'll spend one and assess honesty.
I think you'll see, like she's been looking through your papers, in that way that says to you that she's intrigued. Like she's clearly intrigued by you. It's not the like magical papers that she's been looking through, but it's your notes and sketches for the third book, the bits that you've put down to paper that she's gone through, and you can tell that has some fascination for her, and it does seem like she doesn't have any intention to, if you give her the key, to just vanish.
Enjoying my work.
There is that problem with it where once you have a little taste, you would rather have the full meal. I'm very curious as to where this is going.
Well, I was actually thinking of turning it into a play script. You know, I've struggled with the literary form recently. Sacrifices were made, and the experience at Mather's house showed me that perhaps there are other outlets for this work, other ways for my material, my message to be carried further. Perhaps hiding it within the Gnostic cryptology of my texts is too much. Perhaps, for all the world's a play, and certain parts of it certainly seem to be so, and perhaps I can write it.
See her look like disappointed, and she says, "I would have thought what you saw at Mather's would have disabused you of such notions that plays are very different things. They are enacted, they are not personal and absorbed." There are dangers in that. You are an independent thinker. You will make whatever choice you will, and you are creative, and I cannot contradict you on this, but I urge caution.
Perhaps I simply need a writing partner, Miss Dumont, to get over my block.
Well, certainly I offer my services to you as a secretary or whatever you need.
And the key. What could you offer us? It's not simply mine alone, you understand, it belongs to the group.
I am possessed of some modest skill with the occult arts, perhaps. I could offer up a few things, charms, or notions that I am familiar with.
How familiar are you with the contents of Dr. Jaeger's safe beyond the key and what they might offer us, what they might be put uses they might be put to?
I'll need you to be more specific.
Well, the medallion of Johann Nitlé.
I know what that is. To be handled cautiously, but it comes from those cults who dwell along the sea, who dwell along the waters, and it allows those who live on the land to interact with those below the waves. It is imagine a diving bell as a medallion, if you would.
Allows the passage of those on the land below the waves.
Allows you to, as where while you are wearing that, to move beneath the waters freely and without the need for air.
Would it allow us to communicate with the denizens below?
That is less certain to me.
Interesting. We also retrieved several texts. I've yet to have a chance to study them, but a map of London by Franciscus von Helmont, Naturally magic. And of course, and I pull out the notebooks from my own pocket and put them down on a table, and I say, and items I think will be of mutual interest to us both.
The first two things, I believe, are brought by the other guests, so I am not familiar with them. But I have had a chance to look through Dr. Yeager's notebooks and provided him some assistance on that. It is in a cipher. Not that that's a difficult thing for you, but I can certainly make it easier and shorten your time in working that out. I can help you untangle that.
Well, I think we can come to an arrangement, Mr. Mutz. I think for as long as you wish to remain here, I would be happy to have your company and your help. And I will speak to the others about the key. I'll make sure, but in my view, everyone should be able to find their way home. All we are doing here is to make sure that our home remains the place. Well, becomes once again the place it should be. And I hope that you will enjoy your stay here.
And she will nod. She will say, "And I hope that I can impose on you, as I have no money." And I think that you kind of realize her. She's clearly traveled a bit. It does look a little threadbare, I think.
Of course, no problem at all. In fact, I fish a letter out from a pile that's accumulated by the door, and brush it off the some dust that's atop it, and I say, "In fact, my employers have oh, they've given me a promotion, and I'm going to put two of my bill points into credit rating, and now become the richest person in the group and have four credit rating."
Okay. That seems more than reasonable.
Perhaps, Mr. Monk, with your help, my publishers may supplement that even further.
And she will nod. Let's cut to Isabella.
All right.
Isabella, you will call on Sebastian in his rooms. When you arrive, he looks like worried. He's trying to hide it. But he's like, "Isabella,
Yes.
I read the papers.
Yes.
Can you tell me what happened? Are you all right? Is everything fine? I mean,
I am fine. Dr. Whitewood is taking the baths. He had a
Didn't he
difficult
just
night.
come back from the sanitarium?"
Yes. But I do not think that he stayed so long that he was at his full strength, and he had a bit of a knockback. But it was, and this is a story that I would like to disperse and not tell all in one place. Perhaps we could take a walk.
Yes, please, please.
All right. And I think that's the thing is that they'll just sort of take off walking. I don't know that she pays any attention to the route. If he steers it, that's fine. If not, they just walk wherever they turn. But she sort of tells him that story. She very much doesn't want it like all together in one place. That's sort of a weird feeling that she has. It's like
Yeah,
not all in one place.
I think he certainly walks you out from the quad. You know, there are all the various students out there in trilbies and various fashion. We've got some costuming left over from Brideshead.
Oh, good, good.
And we'll then cut to you kind of walking along the canal and chatting, and he will kind of nods and he says, "You're being very circumspect in your description of Dr. Whitewood's activities. I notice you hesitating.
And she sort of stops and she said, I have great respect for Dr. Whitewood, but there was a certain point at which I think unhinged may have become the best word. It was a good deal of just damage control there towards the end. It's He has a strong spine of decency, so it did not go too far, but he was the most rash that I have ever seen.
I will say this now, and I only say this because I am a man, and I feel that I must say this. But you have your own mind. You are American.
I am. Horrifically so.
But please be careful. I cannot dissuade you from following the path that you are, but please. For my sake.
She sort of stops and she goes, I am careful, perhaps in proportion to the more rash they become. And she goes, and I do have Wilford. He is a rock. And your uncle has reached out to Wilford.
A puzzled look will cross his face.
Exactly.
To Wilford.
To Wilford. Wishes to speak with him to consult. I'm making plans to go to talk to him. He is, of course, an expert in his own things. I wondered if perhaps you might go to visit your uncle as well.
If others are there, yes. I try not to visit him alone. He has, that has not gone over well. I owe him greatly. I have had to go a few times where I cannot avoid it. But yes, if you need me to go, I will go.
Think of it this way. You will have people with you, and you can mark off another point of what is the word?
Social
Obligation.
obligation,
Yes.
yes. That seems fair. You said that this woman, Lady Marlowe, mentioned your brother?
Yes. She knew him. She's looking for him as well. And let me tell you about London. And I will tell him about, I will tell him all about what happened at the party. I mean, I will give him that to total rundown and just
Okay.
how horrible. Horrible she was.
Verity Dice.
Verity Dice,
Okay.
yes.
All right. So that feels good. Is there anything else you want to ask there?
No, I ask if anyone else has approached him. She goes, there seems to be a whole, I think that there are a lot of people trying to pull together some protective groups of people to keep them through what's coming.
There was a fellow who called on me. I mean, as you know, many people are associated with Portmore, and given my background, I am not welcome amongst those numbers, so I'm not invited there. Not that his particular brand of fascism, especially given what we saw in Italy, would be to my liking. But there was a man named Noyes who called on me, and sounded like he came from the south. And I, the doorman didn't send him up, which is always a signal to me that there's something odd there. So I went down to meet with him, and he was lucid but rather shabby. And he muttered some things about alchemy. He clearly knew the name of my late teacher, and such. And
And when he says that, she does touch his arm again because.
But it was odd. I wasn't sure. He spoke of a weapon called fear. That's the thing that's stuck with me. But from his rambling conversation, I couldn't quite understand what he wanted, and I did put him off.
And I know I've heard that weapon called fear, isn't it? Isn't that one of the.
That's one of the things. That was the weapon that was stolen from the Feylands.
Okay.
The one of the three. The other one is austerity, which you have.
And I sort of said that was stolen from the Feylands.
Well, I haven't seen him since then, and that was a few weeks ago.
Okay, noise, huh? Right. Thank you. That is a valuable lead. Back to
So,
Belize.
okay. Wilford,
Yep.
anything you want to do before you go see Professor or Mr. Winthrop?
I will have a thumb through the London papers that we recovered.
It's a very old map. And would you like to make a spend of the knowledge?
The knowledge indeed. Yes, I will. Let me find out where it fits on the sheet. Hell's teeth, I can't see. Oh, yeah. The knowledge. Yes, I will. Well, I've got 3 points. Just one or two?
1 point in that, and then if you want to spend an additional point in a cult, I'll tell you something else.
I will cross-reference with my Petit Albert Grimoire.
Perfect. You will lay out this map, and you can tell it's either like you're not sure if it's before or just after the London fire, like it's clearly from around that period. The map is abstract enough, it's hard to say, but it's very old. It definitely is dated from the 17th century, from around that period. And I think you know enough to be able to know that Franciscus von Helmont was an occultist in England at that time. It is said that he had some commerce with John Dee, though Dee died at the very early part of the century. So whether that's true or not is entirely unclear. But of course, it was Hawksmoor and various other occultists. But the thing that you will realize, and because you know London, you know it's in your bones, is you will realize that there are places that are marked out on this. And you'll realize that where it is marked, these are all tube stations today.
Curious that somebody would have known this
And
and
the other thing
influenced.
that you will realize with that occult spend and cross-referencing with the Petit Albert is there are some symbols that are written by each of those stations, and you realize that those are a very obscure set of symbols that people use to represent the ethers. And each one seems to be associated with a different ether.
Tube station, London, and the ethers. I must bring this to Richard's attention. Not that I think he's got the stomach for London.
Yeah, so you can definitely
Definitely. I'll scrawl some rough notes, fold them up with the map, and tuck it away. Yes, no, that's some really good information about London. Definitely worth at some stage a further
and
investigation.
you do know that it was Dice, Verity Dice, that brought this map. So I think that's a piece of information that was out there already. Let me do Dr. Whitewood, and then let's come back and do your afternoon tea. Dr. Whitewood, you will travel back up to the sanitarium,
Indeed.
where you will be greeted by Dr. Rayner. She looks perhaps a little shocked that you are back so soon to Astley House.
Yes, and I think it's an odd meeting because I'm clearly preoccupied by something and say, my dear Jean, I do need do you have any maps?
We have a library for the guests, and I know that there is an atlas there.
Just a thing, just a thing. And off I go to the library to take the atlas off the shelves.
She follows behind you, she's very clearly concerned, because you've dispensed with all social niceties, done this, and she will follow you there, and she waits and watches. You grab the atlas.
There's probably a big kind of magnifier in the library, and I take a pencil out and I begin to mark crosses on the map. I'm marking Cumnor Hill, Box Hill, the Tarry Stone at Cookham, Selsey Bill, Winchester, Hengistbury Head, and just drawing lines between these, trying to make some sense. And slightly distractedly said, "Does the word Abra mean anything to you, Jean?"
There's Abra Barrow.
Where is it?
And she'll come over. She'll actually go and grab an atlas of England and bring that down to give you a little more detail. You shove the other one aside and immediately do that. And she'll show you. And I think very quickly, I don't think there's a spend necessary for this. You will realize that if you mark out Abra, Box Hill, Tarry Stone, Winchester, Selsey, Cumnor, that what lies in the center of that is Walton Mountjoy, where the Portmore estate is.
Fine.
Those are, given what you know about the ley lines, those are all of the surrounding points.
Right. So they're not a connected line or even a set of lines. They are connecting points of power around
Yeah.
the Portmore
There
estate.
are three lines that run through Walton Mountjoy.
Right. So what I will do is the larger scale atlas she's given me, I'll tuck that under my arm, take the larger scale, the smaller scale atlas, and say, is my room still available?
If you will come
And
and sit down, I will get your rooms available, but perhaps we could have a chat.
oh, by all means, Jean. But this is really terribly important.
Understand. Understood. And she does like send some people off, has a servant go in and make the rooms ready, and she will say, you seem manic.
Oh, I don't think manic. I think excited, excited by the possibilities.
The possibilities of what?
Of saving Albion.
Albion. And what do you
Yeah.
mean by Albion?
You cannot look at the newspapers these days, Jean, without realizing that the world as we know it and the better world we hope for is under significant threat. Albion is the best of what we are.
Is this something like the Irish poets trying to create a Celtic ethos?
I hadn't thought of it that way, but certainly I think one could go back far enough and find that idea, yes. But it is within our reach. We are at a fork in the road, and there's our way and there's Portmore's way, and Portmore is a bad chap.
The England First fellow.
Indeed, indeed, yes.
So this is
But
a
there's more to him.
philosophical consideration. Is this something you're working on with your writer friend?
Yes, indeed, and some other colleagues that I'm not certain you've met.
And you see her clearly take this and put it in a box that you are writing some kind of philosophical tract, some kind of political thing. I think she does say, I didn't think you were that political, and then kind of moves on. And the servant will come back and say that your rooms are ready. Dr. Brainerd will say one thing before you go, Arthur. Your wife called some time ago
Yes.
and asked if you had been here.
Yes.
I told her that I had not spoken with you.
Ah. Yes, probably for the best. Probably the best.
Well then, and she stops and says, I think that's enough. Yes, you're more than welcome to return to your room there and relax. You know the schedule. I'll have meals brought to you.
And as I leave the library, led by one of her white-coated servants, one of the members of staff, I said, "Do you have any thumbtacks by any chance?" And the library door will close.
So I think that's a good point for us to take our first break here. We'll take 10 and come back with the meeting with Edgar Winthrop. Sound good? Okay. Let's take 10 and we'll return. So, Wilford, I believe you are taking with you Isabella, Elisabella's friend, Professor Winthrop. And Richard is also going with you, or not?
He did show a preference.
Okay. So you will arrive at the Winthrop house. The maid will see you in. He will be brought back to that large, messy, classic, very lived-in study, books stacked everywhere, the dust motes and the light coming in through the window, because everything is dusty. And you will see Winthrop, and he looks maybe a little more wan, maybe a little more older than the last time you saw him.
I will go up and shake his hands. Mr. Winthrop, pleased to meet you. A good double-handed shake.
We met in passing when your cohorts were here before. You may not have placed that, but I certainly marked you out, good sir.
Thank you. I was
And
most mystified to get a letter from you.
well, you were Crispina spoke of you as a redoubtable fellow. And he will look over at his nephew
Oh,
and will
sorry,
say,
yes. My friends.
yes, I'm well acquainted with Mr. Fraser again, and my nephew, who has only deigned to call on me now, and has ignored his filial duties. But I understand young men, England, all of that. And of course, you, Miss Grimaldi. He says that with a hint of coldness.
Exactly. And I smile at him and then I smile at Sebastian. There you go. I will be the bad person in that triangle.
And he will say, well, why don't you sit down? Mr. Wolford, sit across from me. I'll have the maid bring tea. There are various stools and such as you wish. You can move things around if you need to.
And I'll push some books aside and get a nice place to sit.
Mr. Wilford,
Aye.
you must have thought my invitation somewhat unusual.
That I did to someone such as me.
You are an illuminated knight of Albion Transcendent. You are amongst that number.
True, that is
You
true.
are invested, and Crispina, as I said, spoke of you, has spoken of you as a reliable person. I have corresponded with her since her, let us say, sabbatical. She seems to be recovering, but I doubt that she will be able to take up her sword like our other knights here.
A true shame, a true shame.
But you and your companions were able to rescue her, demonstrating your skill.
Some luck, but thank you. Thanks for the encouragement.
So, Mr. Wilford, I had a singular dream about you.
I will look wide-eyed back at him.
I am one who understands the portent and portentousness of dreamers and the dreams they have. And I have had a few passing visions in my day. Albion itself sometimes speaks to me.
And I will sort of lean forwards. You dreamt of Albion.
I always dream of Albion. Albion is what we all strive for. It is the thing that we defend in this. Albion will come again, and there will be a rising of England.
And I take it
If
you've called me because it wasn't a good dream.
the first was not good, but the second, in the first, I saw you and you were facing a king. And I feared for you. I feared that you would come under this king's influence. That was what I felt. But luckily, there was another who was in the way. And all of the baleful, poisonous influence of the king fell upon them. I knew that coming into contact with this king would be damnable. But you were protected in that.
Oi, that's true.
But then that dream ended, and I had another dream on the following night, and I saw you seated upon a throne of Albion. I knew then that you and your friends, like, you understand. Albion cannot be complete until a king is seated there. And it wasn't that you were the king, but that you had a role, a part to play in saying who would be seated upon that. Though looking at you today, there's something of the old kings of England that echoes from you.
I'll sort of brush my shoulders and that's some dream you had there, that's for sure, Mr. Winthrop. Clearly, a dream of the future, possible to come, and it would be good to make Albion whole again, as we all strive for. Myself, my friends, you, and some others. Well.
Well, certainly, Mr. Wilfred, I put myself at your disposal for whatever you need, should those choices come, should that role be present. You may think of me as an advisor, as a Merlin to your Arthur, if it were.
Well, I will definitely take you up on that, Mr. Winthrop. You've always been good to us.
I have tried. Mr. Fraser, you seem pensive.
Some would say that Merlin was more manipulator than mentor.
Would they? I thought that Merlin tried to veer Arthur away from fate, but fate took him.
Through the decisions that Merlin made, the fate that he brought upon Albion itself. Mordred, Pendragon, none of those things happen without Merlin's influence.
At the behest of others. You are mages, you know how this works, how things pull and push. We try to help, we try to aid as best we can.
Well, I agree with you that out of all assembled here, I can think of no better candidate, a better leader than Wilford.
Maybe you've been on the wine there, Richard. Well, whether or not it ever comes to be, We need to at least put it in a position so it can do.
And would you have any suggestions on that, Mr. Winthrop? For ourselves, we turn our gaze towards our rivals.
IE marches on Winchester as we speak.
To the south. Winchester is a storied place. There are many tales about what lies there. It is said that there are guardians there. I would say to you, you've already found the fonts and have tied yourselves to those, and that is a great, great thing. Winchester is protected. So proceed with caution. Even though your intentions may be good, it may be a place that repels all who come.
Well, we will definitely have our guard about us going to Winchester,
Where
our adversary
is,
must be stopped.
yes, absolutely, Portmore. I know he is a danger. You know he is a danger. Where is the last of your number? I would have expected Dr. Whitewood to be with you.
Taking a sabbatical, some may say.
Oh, I see.
He'll be with us when the time is required.
Were you present at events in Norfolk recently?
And I'll sort of look at my two companions and then turn to Winthrop and say, we were there. Some evil magic was about. Some influence from the other side.
I don't know the details of it. A chief inspector from Scotland Yard came to ask me about my connection or knowledge of Miss Von Spall, who I've had some dealings with in the past. Your names were not mentioned, though.
Well,
The favor from the lady.
I think somebody did us a favor and left us out of that. But it was a sordid affair, that's for sure. We possibly could have handled it better, but we did the best we could.
If the enemies of Albion are dead, then you have done what needs to be done.
Well, maybe not dead. I don't think that foe we could slay, could we, Richard?
No, but he has returned to his throne and his kingdom. For one who says not to know much, I'd say your dreams have been remarkably prescient.
My dreams, as always, turn towards Albion. And Albion, as I say, speaks to me.
And you swear your service to Wilford?
Now, come on, Richard. Now is not the time for that. Nobody should serve another man.
Well spoken, Mr. Wilford.
I never took you for an anarchist, Wilford.
Well, after quite a few sherbets down the Dick and Dog, some have called me an anarchist before, that's for sure.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come and speak with me, Mr. Wilford.
No, thank you, and thanks for the heads up on many fronts. We are Winchester bound.
Well, I wish you well. I've taken the liberty of having some parcels of food sent over to Crispina's house, as I understand that you and the others are there. a few things for the icebox and some fresh vegetables and such.
Always appreciated. You must start at the bottom and deal with needs there. Then we can work up to the higher things in life.
Well spoken, well said. You are truly a man after my own heart.
Excellent question,
Mr. Winthrop.
Yes.
In recent times, we have made allies power with which to challenge Porma, but Albion will be a great work, a work that we share among our shoulders and that you pledge common cause with. We'll be able to count on you come the time for the greatest working of them all.
Oh,
Your
assuredly.
And this filial dispute between you and your nephew, would you be able
It
to work
is
this?
not a filial dispute. My nephew's, and he says this very much in front of his nephew, my nephew's attentions have been drawn away. The nephew who I raised as my own child, and he has taken it upon himself to be occupied with other matters rather than coming and calling on his dear doddering uncle. I think that the solution to this problem lies in my nephew's hands.
I suppose that's an answer, isn't it?
I appreciate your concern, Mr. Fraser, though. Now, I am old and rather weary, so I will have the maid show you out. Thank you very much again for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Winthrop. Come, my friends. Winchester bound.
And the three of you will head out.
Before I say to Sebastian, I do rather like where you've put your attentions.
There is that pause where he kind of takes him a second to catch what you're saying, and he does rather yes, and follows. So I want to give everyone a chance to call scenes here, either with other PCs or with NPCs, or investigations or things you want to follow up on here. As we have the chance, let's come back to Dr. Whitewood.
Yes, I think we find Arthur in his shirt sleeves. His room is disordered and pinned on the walls. He's torn the larger scale pages he needs out of the larger scale atlas and has pinned them up on the wall to create a complete map of the south of England from Hengistbury Head. And Portsmouth on one side, across to London on the other side, and up as far as Oxford. And they're pinned up and joined together. And he is in the process of drawing the lines between Selsey Bill and Cumnor, and between Hengistbury and Cambridge, and pinpointing, putting a pin in Walton Mountjoy, where they cross. And he's drawn the lines between the other locations around the outside. When I think Jean Rayner appears.
Well, we do encourage a certain amount of arts and crafts.
Oh, this is far greater than arts and crafts. This, and I kind of jam my finger at Walton Mountjoy. This is where the fate of Albion lies.
This map, these marks, all of this feels rather literal.
Oh, it is literal, Gene. Absolutely literal. This is no theoretical concept. This is, if physics is theory, This is engineering. And now that I have completed this, I must bring it to the attention of my colleagues. The other knights, the other illuminated knights, must see this.
Night illumination? Dr. Whitewood, Arthur, with all due respect, this sounds rather mad.
Gee, that is a word I taught you never to use.
And I use it reservedly in this case, but I do use it.
I grant you that I am slightly fixated, slightly excited.
When was the last time you spoke with your wife?
Some little time ago.
Before or after the birth of the child?
Oh, the child. Oh, the child. I do need to stress, Jean, that child is not neither Emmeline's nor mine. It is a foundling that she is caring for.
And you have not seen your wife since then?
No. This gesturing at the wall has, I will admit, rather preoccupied me. For soon the knights must take to the field of battle.
I'd rather hoped it wouldn't come to this.
Come to what, dear Jean?
She sits down at the chair in her study, and you'll see her open up a folder, and she will say, Dr. Whitewood, I rather believe I'm going to have you committed.
That seems not only an extreme act, Jean, I simply don't have time for it at the moment. There are great works afoot.
There are moments when I think you have the lucidity, and then you follow up with a second statement, and all of that falls away. This is for your own good, Arthur. And you hear the as she buzzes someone.
Two burly gentlemen in white coats.
And so, yeah, you will see the doors come open, and you will see a couple of orderlies.
And if at all possible, I would love them to have on the on you know kind of on their white coats, Severals Hospital, Colchester.
Okay. And they come forward for you.
Now, and get up and back off across her study. Now, gentlemen, this is unnecessary. Picking up a candlestick holder.
And they're like, sir, you should put the candlestick down. We do not want to raise matters to another level now, do we, sir?
Am I allowed a telephone call, Jean?
After this, yes, and they move to grab you.
Yeah, and Arthur, I think goes down in a heap. Yeah, he has no weapons ability at all.
Right.
He waves, down, pinned against the wall, and then brought down.
And you will be confined. And it is a few hours later that they will unstrap your arms. You are still kept in a secured place, but give you the opportunity to make a call.
And I think I call the house in.
Professional courtesy.
Indeed, indeed. And I think I call the house in Oxford.
Okay. Yeah, let's come. This is sometime after the meeting with Mr. Winthrop, and you're there, and the maid will come, and she'll say, "There's a phone call from a lunatic asylum."
Oh, certainly, I will take that call.
Ah, is that Miss Grimaldi?
Oh, it is you, Dr. Whitewood.
Yes, there's
How I
been
can.
something of a misunderstanding. I appear to find myself committed. I'm at the Severals Hospital in Colchester. Yes, no, I understand. Yes, just a moment more. I'm in need of succor, Miss Grimaldi.
And she sort of says, "All right, I
No,
will."
I'm talking to the Illuminated Knights of Albion, for goodness sake.
Oh goodness! Says, "You could just say Miss Grimaldi. I think that would make more sense to them." And she sort of
This is Miss
steps.
Grimaldi. Yes, Miss Grimaldi.
She goes, "Do you have you taken a rest yet? Do you think that you do need to take that time?"
I've taken a rest. I have important news. And I recite, Cumnor Hill, Box Hill, Abra, It's a Barrow, the Tarry Stone at Cookham, Selsey Bill, and Winchester. Winchester is essential. How it is the seat of kings. It is the seat of kings, Miss Grimaldi.
And she goes, "Yes, and it's his next target. We understand."
Yes, we need we yeah no, I know we need to act.
We do. You need to rest. We have a lead on Fear, the other missing weapon. We're going to follow up on that.
Very
You
good.
should take this time to
To what, Miss
Take a
Grimaldi?
rest.
But you need to see my maps.
Oh no. Oh no. I know exactly what your maps look like. And she says,
A vision. Have you dreamt of
"Ex
them?
exactly. Your keen sense of these things is very strong. I cannot not see them."
And then there's a, oh, really, this is impossible. Click.
Yeah. Okay. I just like and I will call back to the hospital. And I would say, "I would like to speak to someone about Dr. Whitewood."
May I ask who exactly this is? She clearly suspicious of the American accent.
And she stops and she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Isabella Grimaldi. Of late, I have been working with Dr. Whitewood on some endeavors of his. He is very enthusiastic, but I think that he has exhausted himself." And she sort of says, "Do you have some sense of how long it may take for him to gather himself?"
I really can't speak to that. He is a patient as well as a colleague. So I appreciate your inquiry, but I can't say any more.
Have you
Perhaps
spoken to his
after I've
wife?
spoken to his wife.
Oh, good. You're going to do that. I just wanted to make sure that someone had.
Yes.
All right. And she goes, "Really am concerned for his health. I will speak to his
That
wife
the
as well."
concern is shared by others.
"You are very politic," she sort of stops. "I commend your professionalism, and I am sorry to have interrupted your day."
Wilford, Richard, what are you up to? And of course, now you've overheard the conversation regarding Dr. Whitewood, from your side of things.
And she does turn around and she does say, "We are not going to go and break him out right now, okay?" So.
Well, I think when Because I've just spent an extra point in forgery, and I think when Isabella says we are not going to go and break him out, I think you see me putting some sort of documents and some cuttings of like doctor looking faces out of the paper and other sort of books, putting it aside and sliding it under the daily newspaper and putting the newspaper down. And sort of moving the lamp away, and why not, Isabella?
Because he needs some time to settle back into his self. I think he is in a very heightened state right now. If we can spend these days on something fruitful and then give him that chance to recover, it will all be for the best.
We need Whitewood.
Well, we do. But we need Whitewood at his best, or at least closer to it. I do not want to have a gun waved at me again. That is not Dr. Whitewood that I know.
Oh, this puts me at a quandary. It really does, Isabella. I do owe the doctor somewhat, but I do see the logic of your argument. He hasn't been himself for quite some time. Made him some professional help. More so than what we can give him. May do him good.
More so than what we can give him.
What, were your pay snipes at him all the time, Richard?
I simply asked Dr. Whitewood to take up the role that he took upon himself. And I say this is our duty to do so in his absence. I would say that we three, we four have the power. Dr. Whitewood's problems stem from a disconnection, a friction between what he wishes to make of the world and his rigid way of thinking, the conventional ways. With our art, surely we can, there is a place where sins are made real, where dreams are manifest, where emotions form the very bearings of the world. What better way? I mean, surely, if Whitewood had ever dared to take that step, what greater tool could there be for an alienist? What
And
better way for a physician to heal thyself than to enter thyself?
she sort of stops and she goes and wave a gun at himself because that's where he's at right now. Paranoid, not reading the room when that used to be what he was particularly good at, caught up in. And she sort of stops and she goes, he needs to rest at least a little while.
Perhaps.
And
But
time
not.
spent in preparation is seldom wasted, Richard. Now is a good time to prep for Winchester.
Yes,
How
why?
about this? We spend that time prepping, giving the good doctor time to rest. If he is still not available at that stage, then we can move to a plan B to recover the said doctor. But at least, as Miss Grimaldi has said, give him some time. There is things
Oh,
we can do.
yes, there are things we can do, of course. There are things I can do.
And she sort of looks at you.
So that feels like a good place to cut that. So we will assume that there are going to be a few days of Arthur in recovery here.
Yes.
Alan, do you think that you would recover a point of sanity in that time, given being in professional care? Or
Yeah,
this is entirely up to you?
I think that's reasonable. Certainly enough coherence to plan my escape.
Absolutely.
I begin to recognize there is a game to be played here.
The one thing you will hear that I don't. It isn't said to you directly, but you will pick up after a few days, is that they did tell your wife where you were.
All the more reason to go over the wall.
And She apparently just said, "So be it."
Oh, she's countersigned Jean's commitment papers.
So let's do. We'll come to that. Back to that question that Richard. But Richard, in the few days you have here at the time, while you're allowing the convalescence of Dr. Whitewood, what is it that you wish to do? Do you wish to
Well,
push on to the next ether?
yeah, I was looking at that. Unfortunately, I do think that from a meta perspective, that the ethers sort of go into a bit of a strait of less easily used in any other area, for the next, I think, like 5 or 6 ethers are kind of a bit more abstract and harder to let me see if I can see where I'm. I'm up to, I think the last one I've got to is X, I think. Page 191.
Yeah.
God, I hate the new Adobe Acrobat. It's so much harder to view
Yeah.
page number.
We definitely got through the first couple, right?
Where are the ethers?
So 192 is where they start.
192. Okay. It doesn't help that the PDF has got about 30 extra pages than the actual book does. 192. There we go. So I've never, I don't think I've ever actually, I think I've used them purely for blackmailing my things. I think I am up to like text maybe. Bag. Re
You're definitely
protect
up to up
bag.
to you're definitely up to bag, at
Yeah.
least.
I don't think we ever actually made it into Tsar, did we? To come in with Hecate,
Yeah.
which was
Do
the
you
next.
want to do that?
You know what? The goddess of the witches. You find yourself alone here, except for Hecate, magical goddess of the witches of the snake feet, or perhaps your own dark soul. Now that seems like it could be of use for Dr. Whitewood, and Hecate could be certainly a useful ally in the could provide us with lots of insights into how nature's been shaped by the ley lines in Winchester, what these guardians are, perhaps. I will try and enter Tsar, perhaps with Misty Monk's assistance.
So let's, I don't think this is a question of stability spend since you were to recover that afterwards and so on. I do think it is going to be a spend of a cult just to kind of s supplement that. I do want you to roll me a D6.
Don't roll a one.
That's a
Five.
five. So I think you will find, with Dumont's help and with these notebooks that you have, that that passage is significantly easier. That blockage that you had last time when you had the others with you is gone. And you
No way does
will.
that affect Richard's ego. No, things are
Yep.
easy without the rest of them.
And we do see that figure, that angel there, and it has its arms, which are feathered like a cloak in emerald there, holding close to it, and it will open them up, and you will see this tree that is on fire and burning. And you will sense that it is a grave danger. And you will sense that that spark has been in part started by the striking of that weapon of fear.
Fear burns, the great tree of fire burns within, poses a grave danger. This fire was sparked by the weapon of fear. And I kneel before Hecate and I say, in honor of our alliance, our pact with the Royal Right Witches, I beg thee, O Hecate, for a weapon, for an insight, for knowledge of mine enemy. Where does fear, who holds fear?
Fear is everywhere today. It grows deeper and deeper. Now that it is in the world, it will always be in what is to come. But that weapon was gifted to your adversary. It was not stolen, but was given freely by a traitorous queen. You know that it was they, Portmore and his company, that struck the wound Dolorous. And while you have done away with the wound there, there are wounds in the world still. This tree. This tree is the heart of what Portmore has. It is not like the dark things that you saw elsewhere. It is a white hot burning thing of magic.
We will find it in Winchester.
There are guardians in Winchester that you will have to make your way through, but I cannot speak of those places. That would be too much. But know that you and Portmore both must come through to reach where that is. And if Portmore finishes his working, then his control will blaze across three separate ley lines.
I bow to Queen Hecate, and I think that's when the fire from the tree erupts and wipes out
Right.
the magic.
And I think there is a moment where Hecate says, "You saved the souls of two of mine, so you may call me for a favor." And then she's gone.
Finally progressed onto an ecstasy after the initial flurry of them.
Yes. So we'll come back to that. You will return back, and Dumont will say that seemed to go well.
Yes, Mr. Montai, it did go well. I can only say that you are far better assistant than those I normally work with, at least when it comes to this art.
I will take that as a compliment.
As it was intended.
Wilford, what do you want to do in the meantime?
I was quite intrigued by these guardians in Winchester. There is no sort of library. Oh no, there is library use.
Yeah.
Would this more be a cult? Because I take it the guardians are not sort of real world guardians, something that a library would really tell.
Well, I will tell you, I think with a history or a cult spend, I think you'll know I shall
something of
spend a
this.
gold.
I
Yep.
will drop in the chat there a little bit from the Book of New Jerusalem on Winchester.
I can see it.
Ironically, and I will quote from elsewhere, where it says Merlin was a Welshman, for one thing. Merlin's prophecies are great interest to me, the author of that particular book. Many seem to predict doom of one kind or another, and certainly being forewarned didn't help Arthur escape his fate. Merlin predicted, amongst many other things, great disaster for the city of Winchester, immense floods in London that would overwhelm her dockyards, and war in England as the House of York took up arms.
Something that is interesting in that text that you dropped in there is the hedgehog will hide its apples inside Winchester and will construct hidden passages under the earth.
Yes.
So, would it be possible to spend, well, I haven't got library use, so I do have architecture. Some sort of, are there any, it says there clearly that they're hidden. But has anybody found any entrance way to passages in Winchester? That look to be
Make
just
that
little,
spend.
I will make that spent. Spent.
You will read of a recent set of digs that has generated quite some controversy, because they have found some tunnels and underground, like deeper than they would have expected, that they've actually dated to Roman Britain. And this is not a place that the Romans like held strongly or built in, but there's said to be some evidence of Roman style markings and other things. And right now there is generally a big debate about that, and a strange Protestant religious group that has arrived there, that has a whole theory about Jesus and the Grail and Jesus fleeing to England and coming here, and a weird set of messianic millenarial strangeness. It's not entirely clear. The paper clearly that you get the record on this doesn't take it seriously, and so what they actually present is almost gobbledygook. But it seems like some sort of cult led by an American preacher.
Well, that can't be good. Can't be good. Protestants controlled by an American
Yep.
against the Church of Rome. No good can happen of that.
Name is Pastor Dobslaw.
Pastor Dog Slaw, more like. Pastor Dobslaw. Well, I will definitely write his name in my little book.
Okay. And Isabella.
Yes. I'm looking for noise.
What do you want to use to find them? I think actually, do you have oral history?
Do have, wait, do I? Yes, I do. I do. I will spend oral history.
So you will end up sort of, you're again, you're an American,
I know.
so you have a little less a worry about this, but I do think that you find yourself talking to some of the more transient folk here in Oxford.
day laborers, maybe even tramps like Wilford, and such. And eventually you'll find a man who will say, "Oh, yeah, Mr. Noyes, yeah. He was through. I knew him from the South before."
The South.
Yes. He's a miracle worker.
That sounds interesting. What sort of miracles?
Well, I was having a bad spell of my rheumatism. It came up, the storms risen, and my knuckles had swollen something fierce. I crossed paths with Mr. Noyce as he was heading back down south. I had met him before a few years ago, and he and I spoke for a time, for a spell, and then he gave me some herbs and such to chew on, and well, within a few hours, the swelling had gone down.
Wonderful.
He's an odd one, that noise. He talks like a gentleman, but ran a rambly sort of way, more like a drunk gentleman than a gentleman, if you take my meaning.
I understand.
But he's an odd one. He's got his little pets with him.
What is the nature of his pets?
Oh, he always carries a pair of hedgehogs with him.
Hedgehogs.
I Doesn't seem like a right proper pet, but you know.
Is something that you take care of as much as anything else, right? Sounds like
But
this person who looks out for other people.
That was some weeks ago that he passed through.
You said he's from the south?
Yes, I from the coast.
Winchester?
The Winchester's on the coast, yeah.
Interesting. And she considers, do you know how he travels typically? Does he take the trains?
He's not the sort to take a train, ma'am,
No.
unless he were to hitch on to one as it was passing through. No, he's a traveler in the good sense. He walks, he catches rides where he can, he helps out and heads on.
All right. Okay. I think it sounds like we'll be taking a drive down towards Winchester.
Dr. Whitewood, now there was a question in the chat about whether you would prefer to have more dream assistance or do this escape more practically.
I think part of me wants to do both, really. So I certainly would like to have Richard try ascending, and see where that takes us.
Let's start with that then. I think you are a few days later, anxious. Maybe the day that you get the news that your wife did
Signed the
nothing,
papers.
signed papers, and affected by that perhaps a little bit, and you've been watching the rotation of the orderlies. Well, the layout of the place, all of those things with a more cool, detached eye, calling on your gifts from Bromion to analyze the situation. I think you are dozing there. Richard, what do you think contacting Dr. Whitewood through dreams looks like?
I think that we're, again, with Miss Demont's assistance, I think that we enter the Dreamlands, where a grey cat with dark stripes is waiting for us and leads us down the path. And unlike most of those, I believe the way I imagine it is that when we enter the dream by the ethers, we do not become our dreaming selves in the same way that others do. We are not dreamers, we are astral projections into the land of dream. And the cat leads us through these winding streets of Kadath and the city of dreams, and finally to this great
She does say, as you are going along, she will say, "The library is here."
the library.
It has your book in it.
Well, I
Or
wouldn't want to.
perhaps for another day.
I wouldn't want to spoil the ending. But it's good to know that great work lives on, even in dreams. And yeah, I'm imagining that maybe like the dream version of the asylum is like some sort of great sort of medieval style panopticon almost, you know?
With various rooms that are decorated with the aspect and coloring of various people's panics and fears and deliriums. It is a mixture of people who are here for anxiety and people who have actual serious mental illness that they don't know how to handle yet in a practical way, schizophrenia and so on. And I think you'll see that. That weird, bright, bruise-like colors of those visions. Dr. Whitewood, what does your cell look like in the dream?
I think that I am perpetually dreaming of those maps. I think that there's a kind of whirling maelstrom of maps of the south of England, with me in the middle, kind of.
Richard.
A step inside. I say, Dr. Whitewood, I presume.
Yeah, Richard. Oh, hang on. This seems rather odd. Are
This is
you an hallucination? There have been some.
I'm a visitor, Arthur. I'm a
A
visitor.
visitor? Yeah, but clearly this is not the asylum. This
This
is not the hospital, is it? Where
this.
have you taken me?
Where you visit every night, where you've always been, where I've told you that you should come with me. And I'm here to lead you out, Dr. Whitewood.
Oh. Oh.
I'm here to make you whole.
I beg your pardon?
My friend, we walked this path together from the start, but you have always struggled with the scope. With your rigid definitions of what is real and what is here and what is not, but we walk in several worlds. We are practitioners, and I am here to guide you as these maps fill your thoughts and your dreams. At every waking moment, I am here to help what navigate your psyche from whether in this ether or the next or the next.
Now that's all well and good, Richard, but there are perfectly sound theories for how to reunify a psyche,
And this, my friend,
many of which I am entirely familiar with.
consider this another one. One that I feel would be that it would be I would have no better practitioner than Dr. Arthur Whitewood, alienist extraordinaire.
Well, I suppose there's nothing to be lost by experimentation.
And I'd like the cat to turn and just say, like, there are always things to be lost, Dr. Whitewood, in a human.
Richard, can I just confirm that that cat is speaking?
Yes. It's a good
You could
friend of
ask me that question and address it to me, good sir.
I entirely beg your pardon, cat.
I lean in close to Wyward and I say, you really want to be polite to the cats here.
If I had a hat, I'd doff it.
You do have a hat, and you'll realize that you do have a hat on.
Good day.
And yeah, I imagine this as from within that cell, you know, like the space here is liminal, right? To be able to take Dr. Whitewood into either the ether of his sin, you know, like what he is that he castigates himself over, that he feels he's done wrong, or you know, from here into his emotions, whatever turmoil it is within, to set his emotional compass straight, to bring him some stability back. You know, but I would leave such a thing, I think, in the hands of his player. I don't want to dictate Dr. Whitewood's psyche.
Would you like, I think this is first of all, Richard, spend a magic point, I
Yes,
think,
of
to
course.
do this big working. But Dr. Whitewood, would you like to try and, given this form, given this approach, to use psychoanalysis on yourself?
I think that's a very sensible idea.
Okay. Then I am going to roll with the difference between your current and permanent sanity here, and that will set the difficulty of the psychoanalysis.
Does the cell reform into Dr. Whitewood's study, and Dr. Whitewood himself is transitioning to Dr. Whitewood?
Let's see here. So difficulty is a 9, doctor.
Gee whiz. Well, I will spend 8 of my psychoanalysis because
All
I never get to use it, and
okay.
roll D6 plus 8.
So you'll be able to restore point of state sanity, but I want you to tell me what this looks like. Like, what is that dream process?
I think that what we see is as these maps are swirling around us, they become windows into the events that are clearly troubling Arthur. So, you know, most recently, shooting Jaeger, brandishing the gun. They are almost flashbacks to these events that he has found traumatic, all the way back to hiding under the car when that creature appeared, and there's a sense in which they start off from the point of view of Whitewood, you know, the fear, the anger, the passion, all those slightly violent emotions. And then the perspective changes to Arthur, Dr. Whitewood, looking at Arthur's sensations and emotions, and coming to realizations that maybe they could be controlled, that they could be modified, that they have their uses. And I think it is psychoanalysis on self. So gradually, the pain that rolls off those events subsides somewhat.
And Richard, you could see that while he's not whole, you have given him the space to come to some understanding, some better sense of things in this.
This is really very interesting, Richard.
The golden path, my friend. All
Yes.
I ask is for us to open our eyes to the possibilities, the worlds within and the worlds without.
Yes. Yes, I can see that this could have some clear application in practice.
I look forward to reading your treatise, Dr.
Indeed, a paper begins to form itself as I dream.
I
Yeah,
think
I think.
is overjoyed to finally see Whitewood not freaked out by the every use of magic.
So yeah, you will be able to do that. Dr. Whitewood, describe to me your escape.
Indeed. I intend to boost my. I'm going to start spending these accumulating build points. I'm going to spend two of them to improve my contacts from 5 to 7. I have already spent three, so that should be a four, not a five. I'm going to spend three of those contact points on Percy. Percy is my nurse. I want to spend three of those contacts points on Percy. Write him down below. And I want to spend those points to convince Percy that this is all a terrible misunderstanding, and that enemies. And I think I maybe I caught I saw the Socialist Worker Party newspaper from it coming out of his back pocket, and I make it clear this is a fascist plot to lock me up, because I have important work to do for the country. So I want to spend those 3 points to get Percy on my side, and then I think it's about sense trouble, stealth, athletics, to get over the wall.
Let's have you roll, I think. With that +3 for Percy against a 5 here to get yourself in position.
I'm just wondering if there is anything else to be spent on this.
Do you have an investigation skill that you think would associate?
That's what I'm wondering. Dub 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 dub.
Could
I mean,
spend medicine to present yourself as.
as a perfectly logical and sensible chap.
Right, that or credit rating.
Oh no, keep credit rating back. There's
Okay.
not as much about of that about as there used to be.
Sure.
So I'll spend a point of medicine. So that's D6 plus four then. Yeah.
Yeah. So
That's a
I
nine.
will agree. He talks, about labor and the strikes and so on, and he's willing to get you out. He said, but there's only so much I can do.
Well, all I need you to do, Percy, I don't want you to get into trouble, you know, is I need you to just look the other way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, under cover of darkness,
Indeed.
at night, you will sneak your way out. I think your success on that means I'm not doing any sense trouble or stealth rolls because you rolled a 5 there, so that's a significant boost. But there is the high wall.
Indeed.
Okay, so
Indeed.
at difficulty 5 to climb a wall that is designed to keep prisoners in.
Indeed. Happily, I have my bedclothes with me. And so it is a question of getting up the nearest tree, looping my knotted bedclothes over one of the kind of inward-facing hooks, that kind of stop you climbing over, and then carefully climbing over.
All right.
So I'm guessing athletics.
Athletics, let's also say 5, as we've said here.
Okay, so I will spend 4 of my athletics.
Perfect.
There we go. 9 to 5, 1d6.
Another 5. And you have leapt over the wall, you land,
Lower
clamber
down the other
over,
side
and take off into the night.
flee into the night.
And I assume that we will have the group meet up at some point here. I think, yeah.
I do want to just spend one more build point, At this point on Filch,
Okay.
because there has to be a scene where I steal an over some kind of clothing off a washing line
Absolutely. And a pie on a windowsill.
and a pie windowsill. And then rather kind of sheepishly make my way out of Oxford railway station.
I think this is where we're going to stop for today, because it brings us all together, and then we can start with the sort of the heading to Winchester next time, any other researches that we're going to do. I do think that we are going to see one flashback scene just briefly here in this. And I do think it is that we see on screen a Emmeline Whitewood putting the phone receiver down, looking shaken, looking uncertain. And I think we hear a voice that says, "It's not my place to say, ma'am, but I do think you've done the right thing." And I think we see that burnt hand of that maid in the background. And that's where we're going to stop. Let's do a quick stars and wishes. Dr. Whitewood, we'll start with you.
Oh, stars, stars. I love the fact that Wilford is becoming an embodiment of the store, the stout Albion yeoman. And I found myself thinking that that Tolkien is writing The Hobbit at this point. And the idea that Wilford is in fact Bilbo Baggins to our high-flown, lords of Middle-earth. Thank you, Will, for the Dreamland sequence. That was great. I really enjoyed that. And Isabella, I just love the relationship, or is it a relationship that you have with Sebastian?
Would like to think it's a relationship.
All those girlish glances, yeah. And Lowell, I you know that it this is just so much fun. Thank you.
Good.
And thank you for allowing me to be locked up in a
Yes.
hospital I once provided medical services at.
Anything wishes wise?
No, I mean, you kind of met my ongoing wish that the maid with the burned hand becomes an increasingly concerning influence on Whitewood's life or that of his loved ones, such as they are.
Excellent. Richard.
Yeah, I enjoyed seeing Miss Grimaldi look out for Whitewood, like let the poor man rest, look at his nerves. And, yeah, she did have a gun waved around in her face. I thought that was great to have it reminded that that was all happened because he was off his rocker last session. Yeah, Alan, for picking up on, because I was like, well, what can I do with these? I've always been like, what can I do with these ethers? And it's not really lend itself to anything. But if you're losing your marbles, then I'm not saying this will help you necessarily in the long run in terms of conventional human society, but certainly if you're a magus, it seems why not, heal thyself with magic and spiritual journeys and things. So yeah, thanks for going along with that. And Wilford did a really good job this session of digging out intel and working the field, basically getting us ready for stuff. And I also will give a star for Wilford, the once and future king of Albion, and particularly enjoy the line of "Albion should be a place where no man calls another a master," which is, I think, at the very start, I said that Richard was a bit of an anarchist, so he's 100% on board with that. And who better to be the king of Albion than a man who believes such a thing? The reluctant king is the only noble one. And yeah, wishes. Obviously, I want to do more magic and dig out anything that could be potentially useful from the remaining magic books that we have. Even if that's just a point of magic that could be spent somewhere, because I think that's kind of my vibe of what Trail of Cthulhu often does with magic items is they're just more of a pool that you can pour points into to
Right.
call up, which would open up some of the more vary, you know, because we have a bunch of spells, but I think that once you start casting them, you start quickly winnowing away through your source of stability and everything.
Right.
And yeah, some more fascist magicians who may or may not be mind swapped parasites, as previously, but more fantastical grotesqueries to feel good about defeating, as
Okay.
like the dragon was, you know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, my long-term thing with Edgar Winter was when I realized we actually have quite a bunch of allies, I was like, well, we should have some sort of great working at some point, I think, with all of our allies and all the ley lines that we've claimed, you know.
Interesting. Great working. Isabella.
I really love the difference where Isabella is hesitant to use magic where she thinks there are another way to solve the problem, and Richard's gung-ho-ness. And the thing is that she isn't like adverse to doing magic for a purpose, but she's got like a very strong sense of what constitutes an actual, like, you know, when you do this, you have to be, it's because you're doing a thing with a purpose. And Richard seems so ready to apply it to everything that she's like, oh no. And there's inherently, I think it just comes from being a stage magician where you can't waste all of your tricks, you know, they have to be used for the effect. And she just has that sense of that it has to be for that point when it's absolutely perfect. She has no sense of using it for everything. So it is a very interesting thing. And of course, you have helped him. And every time you've done it, it's been successful, Richard. So at some point she'll come around, but she's still going to fight you for a while. Dr. Whitewood, you are the best insane doctor that I have ever played with, because it's like it's so on beat, on topic. It's not silliness, it's not wasted manicness, it's very plot and experience driven, and it's just really so artful and good. And Paul, your Wilford is the salt of the earth, and I would certainly, well, I'm American, so I would vote for him for king. So,
Thank you.
yes, I really love that turn, and I am 100% behind supporting Wilford for the person to at least decide who sits on the throne. So, this game is lovely. Everyone here is amazing. And that includes you, Lowell. You're quite good at this.
Fair enough.
All right.
Wishes?
I really want to run into Noise. I think he is Kensington, or the thing about the hedgehog under the. Anyway, he's tied to that somehow. So anyway, I want to run into him.
Okay.
I will take a meandering path when we drive down, hoping to do that. There's that one spell that you could have someone look for you. I might try using that
Oh, that's a good
to
call.
raise my chances to run into him on his way down back down to Kensington. Perhaps we can give him a lift.
Excellent. Lastly, Wilford.
The role playing session, or the role playing that people did, I would, like to highlight. I thought that was really good. I really loved Isabella's role playing with Sebastian. That was just delightful. Really good to see there, Sherry. Richard, again, your sort of knowledge of the ethers and how you interpreted that and built the whole cat thing. I thought that was really, really good. their will. And to Alan, yeah, descent into Bedlam, even though it's in Colchester, not quite Bedlam. But that was some really, really good role playing, and you know, all three of those were things I aspire to. And Lowell, a sort of a setup session, to be able to throw in their sort of spends, you know, I thought was really, really good. You know, because there was no actual sort of enemy we were facing, but you still managed to get spends in there. So you know, I thought that was some great GMing. And going forwards, wishes. I do like the fire damaged hand, serving girl or maid. Maybe clearly this is going deep future, not in the next few weeks, because I believe Alan's wife is in London. Possibly tying the maid into whatever you've got going forwards.
I will admit it does look like we're going to have to do a third arc of this.
Well, what a shame next year.
I think we're going to have to, just because even if you deal with Portmore, we've still got the London question, and certainly
Still
we've
got
set up
London.
for that.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd like to see the maid somehow entwined in the London situation. That would be nice to see in the semi-distant future.
Excellent. Thank you all so much. I really enjoyed that. And I am going to stop the recording.
Can I
Oh,
just one thing before you do?
sure.
Sherry, really kind of you, because the whole sanity thing and mental health is tricky. So you know, I was hoping that I was walking a decent line, because it's, you know, it's often more than a game
Yeah.
for some folks. So thank you for that. I appreciated it.
So don't forget, we're not on next week because that's our Star Wars Saturday mini con. But we will be back the week following that. Awesome. Thank you all so much. I'm going to stop the recording.